Welcome to session 4 of the audio version of the PDH online course on short circuit calculations, simplified method. We're ready to look at another table to make sure we understand how to do this. This one is 2500 kVA, so that's a big transformer, 5.5% impedance, very nominal mid-range kind of transformer, a high capacity mid-range impedance, and the table looks about the same as the others. Being a larger transformer, we notice that the large current flows, the large available short circuits, go quite a distance from the transformer. At the terminals of this 2500 kVA transformer, 55,000 amperes available. Now, that's a big number, but a 65,000 available short circuit interrupting capacity kind of breaker, I won't say it's a common breaker, but you can spend the money and buy them. They're available in all the sizes. Not a problem, but something certainly to be recognized. That's at the transformer terminals. When we get 20 feet away, which is something we've been looking at, we still have 45,000 amps on 4-aught cable. Boy, would that be some welding. 4-aught is a wire size used for welding cable. 2,000 amp bus duct has 54,000 amps available. Now that's 55,000 at the terminals and 54,000 20 feet away. So we're not picking up much impedance considering we've got so little impedance at the source. Go out to, let's say, 200 feet, which is kind of a reasonable number to be far away from something in a plant setting. 4-aught cable still has over 16,000 amps available. And the 2,000 amp bus duct has 50,000 available. I'm sorry, 45,000 available at 200 feet. So again, the thing we notice about this is with a big transformer back there, you have very little source impedance, and you're paying a lot of attention to your feeder impedance, which isn't much. Now, yeah, 4-aught cable, that's got impedance, but that isn't giving you much current capacity down the road either. You go with 2,000 amp bus, where you're going to get some amps out there where you need them, you've still got a whole heck of a lot short circuit. Going down the line, we've been talking about 10,000 amps as being kind of a threshold till you get down to nominal values. 5,000 feet, a mile away, before you get below 10,000 amperes on the 2,000 amp duct. So that is a big transformer, but again, a very real industrial-sized transformer for a large facility. We know how to read the table from the first example. The differences are that a 5.5% of 2,500 kVA is a lot less ohms. Therefore, we see much higher SCA at the transformer and on each of the feeders. The feeder impedance doesn't have much effect until we get above 200 feet, and we can't use standard industrial equipment till we get out to the 2,000 foot level. When I was doing work for a large auto company, the standard 480 volt transformer was 2,500 kVA. Every transformer in every plant was 2,500 kVA, and we used 2,000 amp bus duct. The transformers were on mezzanines above the center of the plant, and we never exceeded 2,000 feet on a bus duct run. So you can see that we had an awful lot of short circuit available, and these people were very, very sensitive about available short circuit current. But once again, as the case we've been discussing, they dumped it on the contractor to figure out. Well, you've got to tell him what your SCA is before he can figure out what he's going to do about arc flash. And on that job, he wasn't able to do it because we couldn't get him the SCA, and there aren't easily available numbers on bus duct until you get a hold of a good modeling program like this one. At the 2-mile distance, the feeder impedance is controlling again, and we have short circuits just above overload protection threshold. So once again, a long run, we have to worry about this problem between short circuit and the response time of the protective device. If it thinks it's an overload, it's going to wait a long time to trip. And when I say a long time, like we can get 10 minutes and 20 minutes before a protective device will trip when you're very near its full load rating. Another table, 500 kVA at 2.5%. And on the display, it says there is an error in the 2 at 500 KCMIL column at 100 foot away. And if you look at the sequence of numbers, at 20 feet away, the SCA is 23 Ka, 50 feet is 22, then 100 says 30 Ka, then 200 says 17. Well, that 30 is out of line. And you go back and rerun it, and you get a different value. So it was a typographical error, either a data entry error or a copied wrong from the software. And I think this is interesting because it emphasizes that there are mistakes and that applying reasonableness helps you get consistently good values. Let's see what the text says about this particular table. We now examine the effect of low transformer impedance. Again, this is a 2.5% transformer, 500 kVA. It's a small one with small impedance. The example is a small 500 kVA unit. Such transformers are presently installed and not too rare. You would expect low transformer impedance to provide higher short circuit currents, but the magnitude is not intuitive to me, at least. Available short circuit current at the terminals is 24 kA, emphasizing the economy of a separate transformer and distribution panel some distance away. Full load current is kVA divided by V line to line divided by square root of 3, or 600 amps. So we might try to get the main distribution panel 100 feet away to get down to a reasonable interrupting rating. Now, it doesn't make sense to buy a transformer and a main and then run cables to a distribution panel in most circumstances, but it is cheaper. There is economy there, and it may use production space more economically in some circumstances. Again, looking at the table, running two conductors, 500 kcmil for 100 feet, identifies an error in the published table. The 32 kA isn't right. I'm going to fix it in the main table, and in fact I did fix it in the main table, but left it here to emphasize both humans and machines make mistakes, and it requires some vigilance to get the proper results from either. And I don't wish to misstate this. This error was certainly mine. The other case where this occurs is where the utility provides a pad mount or pole mounted cans outside and you put your service panel inside. 100 foot produces a cost reduction and safety improvement. Since we can only deliver 600 amps, it doesn't make sense to look at a 1000 amp bus duct. Note, however, the software didn't complain. It did produce numbers. You must apply some reasonableness test. Caveat: a special problem is upsizing feeders to reduce voltage drop. That isn't the focus of this course, but it is a consideration and is related. I recently joined a project during the construction phase. The consulting engineer had specified three conductors per phase, 500 kcmil, for an 800 amp run with an expected load of 500 amps. His run was 500 feet long. He didn't look at the fact that the tenant was hooking up another 500 feet of two-conductor 4-aught AWG for the remainder of the run. Now, that is, he didn't know that the tenant was hooking up another 500 feet of two conductors per phase 4-aught AWG for the remainder of the run. It sounds like a silly situation to have monster huge cables feeding what appear to be kind of undersized cables, but the consultant called for an unfused disconnect switch and a kilowatt hour meter at the tenant connection. As noted earlier, an unfused switch has 10,000 AIC rating. We had 18,000 available at the switch, mostly because of the oversized feeder. There was a happy ending, though. The contractor bought a fused disconnect instead of the unfused we told him to buy, and he provided 500 amp fuses with no additional cost. Now here's a quirky detail. How can a 3 conductors per phase 500 kcmil be replaced with 2 conductors per phase 4-aught AWG? Well, it's easy. The 3 conductor was XHHW in steel conduit, and the 2 conductor per phase was 90 degree RHW DTO P123MSHA open conductors laying on the ground. I don't think the tenant was worrying about voltage drop. Now, again, if you're not familiar with this, it took me some hunting to get these rating values on the cable. They call it P123MSHA. I think, Wait a minute, you can't do that. Yeah, MSHA cable for mining, but you don't use MSHA cable for landside. On the other hand, I'm looking at the cut sheet and it says for use in carnivals and theatrical production. So it's clearly for land use, but it's got an MSHA rating. So what's going on here? Well, I dug in a little farther and I found the DTO rating. What in the world is a DTO rating on cable? I go back to the National Electric Code, and I can't find DTO on flexible cable or building wire. So what's DTO? Well, DTO is diesel. It's for a train. I knew what DTO meant for a while back, but the diesel train operation. But again, it's not NEC. Well, it also has an RHW NEC rating, and we're using it under the RHW rating. I kind of like the MSHA rating because that indicates the jacket is husky enough to drag along the ground back and forth. The DTO indicates that it's extremely fine stranding, so it bends easily, and the RHW tells you which column to look at for loading. This project's gone a little further since I wrote this up. In addition to the 500 feet that the tenant was applying, he put on another 500 feet. So he's got 1,000 feet of this 4-aught cable hooked up to 500 KCMIL. I have asked to have amprobe, that is clamp-on ammeter readings, to see if he's pulling his 500 amps. And I would be very, very interesting to see what his terminal voltage is, because we didn't do anything to, usually when you're expecting a voltage drop, you boost up your source voltage a little bit. But again, we are following the rules of the NEC because at the service point, at what we're giving him, we have a legal voltage drop. If he hooks up something else and gets a diminished voltage drop, he better hope that his installation isn't covered by the National Electric Code. And in fact, his installation isn't covered by the National Electric Code. So we don't have a real world problem here, but a very real world circumstance. From the table, available short circuit current drops to 10,000 amps, someplace between 200 feet and 500 feet from the transformer. This is on, why are we looking at 250 KCMIL? Well, because that's what we're looking at. The data points are hard, that is, they are actual commercial software result values. Any interpolation must be done with care. Let's look at the curve using Microsoft Excel. And again, there's a data table and a curve inserted here. One of the reasons I do these things this way is because you can see how I did it. And if I made a mistake, you can put a red circle around and feel real good about that. And if I do it right, you can use it as a model and copy from it. So anyway, I transcribed the foot columns, 0, 20, 50, 100, 200, 500, 1,000. I transcribed the short circuit KA, 24, 22, 19, 16, 12, 7, 4. And then I said, Microsoft Excel, do your thing, make me a plot. And made me a nice little plot. I'm very pleased with the plot. And it appears to be an exponential decay. Now, we're interested in where we cross the 10,000 KA threshold. And it happens to be not about a third of the way between the 200-foot and the 500-foot break. So I did a little algebra on this, and the algebra was very painful. I don't recommend that. At the end of this discussion, I'll explain how I would actually do it if it were my problem rather than an academic exercise. But the slope is 12,000 amps minus 7,000 amps over 200 feet minus 500 feet. Or 5.48 over 300 in a downward direction, which turns out to be 0.018 kiloamps per foot. Now that's just for the two points. We're not looking at the long curve, we're just looking at the two points and the slope between the two points because it looks linear. And then the crossover will be 200 plus 2.584. Where in the world did that come from? Oh, because that's how you get from 12,584 to 10,000 to 10. It's the 584, the 2.584 divided by 0.01827 per foot, or 200 plus 141 is 341 feet from the first point. And since the first point was 200 feet and we're adding 141, that makes it 341 feet total, which is just a little application of algebra. And I checked from the other end also and got the same answer. So it appears the mechanics of the computation are correct. And if we're looking at the crossover point for 250 KCMIL, it would be at 341 feet. So if you're putting in something at 320 feet, you're on the high side of 10,000. If you're putting in at 350 feet, you're on the low side of 10,000, which is a cost difference on your installation, and it's getting the right part number when you're ordering the stuff. In fact, since we are doing reasonable tests, I would actually look at a better plot and mark a point at the 10 KA crossing, then read the distance axis. And again, I verified it this way. The 341 is very, very reasonable. Caveat question mark. This looks like good engineering to me, not a wild ass guess. If you do not have a comfort level with the result, then you're a good candidate to buy the commercial software package or hire a PE who has it. My comfort level comes from the numerous reasonable tests we have performed to get here. Looking at another table, this one is 2500 kVA, big sucker, 2.5%, very low impedance. What kind of numbers do we get? Well, first, it's 120,000 amps at the terminals. So we're going to be spending money any way we hook up to this transformer. And where do we start getting down to 10,000 amps? Well, in the 5,000 foot, 1 mile radius. So we're going to be paying money on current limiting fuses or very high speed circuit breakers any way we do it. As I say, this is a large low impedance transformer. We would expect huge available short circuit current. But again, it's not intuitive to me, at least, how much distance we need to get down to the general purpose 10 KA gear. As expected, the available short circuit current at the terminals is huge, 120 kA. Above the rating of a lot of current limiting fuses and circuit breakers with fuse protectors, 200 kA devices are available, but recognize the expected problem when you have to replace one of the fuses. If it goes, a big part of your plant is down until the fuse is replaced. And I hope you don't have to air freight it from someplace out of town. But again, you've got to address this question anytime you're using fuses. They are protective devices, and you are buying them only so that you can replace them and save further damage from your plant. You have to get beyond 500 foot to use 10 KA gear. If you have a transformer like this in your plant, it would be prudent to start checking the interrupting capacity of all protective devices and be very, very wary of any unfused disconnects. Reasonableness test. The embedded caveat above was that great care is required in the ratings of all distribution devices if you have a 2500 kVA 2.5 transformer. Does that make sense? Short circuit studies ignore the operation of protective devices. If you have a 200 kA current limiting fuse on the main, do you really need to worry about feeder breakers, downstream panels, and disconnects? And I say very emphatically yes, for four reasons. First, it's the law. When you start intentionally violating the National Electric Code, you're buying grief for yourself and your employer. This is very persuasive to me. Second, protective devices fail. I have high confidence in current limiting fuses operating in their current limiting range. I have less confidence in relay-driven power circuit breakers. I've been part of accident investigations where the circuit breaker didn't open when needed. Third, I have high confidence in current limiting fuses, in operating in their current limiting range. The transformer has full load current of 3,000 amps. A reasonable main fuse might be 4,000 amps. A 4,000 amp current limiting fuse doesn't go into current limiting mode until something like 40 kA, depending on the fuse. Can you foresee situations where a distant fault or weak nearby fault looks to the fuse like an overload instead of a short? You don't get the fractional cycle clearing operation, and the field device gets the full hit. Fourth, if the field device opens before the main device, it doesn't matter what the main device is rated at. The field device gets the full hit. Sometimes there's an intentional delay placed on the main protective device for protective coordination, or an error. In this case, the field device gets no benefit from the upstream rating. I'm talking here about relaying that is set incorrectly or enjoying a spider web, not breaker failure in the second worry. The success rate on relaying tests is directly proportional to the maintenance care they have received. If yours haven't been checked in 20 years, this is another reason to get fully rated gear. Is there any reason to look at 7.5% transformers? The only reason I can conceive is if you have one in your facility and didn't really want to read the discussions on the 5.5% and 2.5% transformers. There's nothing special about 7.5% transformers except they have smaller available fault currents at the terminals and after a feeder. Look at the table for your unit and see if you have existing or prospective problems. Is there any reason to make tables for 3.5%, 4.5%, and 6.5% transformers? We demonstrated interpolation of the distance column previously. The same method can be applied to impedance values between 5.5% and 7.5%, or between 2.5% and 5.5%. Because we have three values to use in interpolation, we can really easily see how linear or curved the section is that you're interpolating. Again, I recommend graphic interpolation as it incorporates visual reasonableness tests. There is also some slick technical software out there to help you do the algebra. Parting words. Please use the comments section following the quiz. Tell me what was confusing or not clear. Tell me if you got promised value. And tell me if you would like to see a similar course on simplified time-current coordination. Thank you very much for joining me.